Boy, have I been looking forward to talking to you. This is Lance Wallnau on the Lance Wallnau Show. And, you know, I want to thank you for helping us to do this show. I mean, I run into you in airports and different, you know, Flashpoint gatherings, or particularly on the Courage Tour these days. If you go to thecouragetour.com, you'll see where we're doing these wild rallies in the seven swing states. And it's quite an experience. It's an immersion experience. And you guys are helping it make this journey fun. I mean, I've got a great crowd. Once you meet our audience out there, they're just a wild group. They're a wholesome group. Like my wife would say, good, clean, fun. And they're just a lot. They are a special group. Now today, we have we just had Jensen Franklin that was with us in Georgia. I'm going to play some of his for you right now. I just don't want you to miss the experience of the Courage Tour. And like I said, go to thecouragetour.com and you could make sure you find out when we're in your county, your city. You don't want to find out we were there and left and go, Lance, I would have come if I knew. By the way, speaking of, I would have done something if I knew. Someone just told me the gold prices reached a historic $2,328 per ounce. And that was like the week of April 7th. And one economist actually said that yellow metal could go to $3,000 before the next business cycle, which would be a 30% increase from present levels. Now, there are economists that are predicting this. You know why? The Biden administration, it's almost like God is shaking this tree. Now, I'm not a financial expert, and I'm not trying to give you financial advice, but I can read numbers. If you've got something that's going up like gold, it's because paper's coming down. We cannot trust these politicians in Washington. The Republicans are as bad as the Democrats. They go there to spend your money. Wouldn't be bad if they spent it on something that produced manufacturing or goods and service. They put it in stupid environmental deals. They flush it down the toilet. And that's the reason why I'm so passionate about you knowing what to do with your gold, with a gold IRA, taking your retirement money, putting it somewhere where it's going to be stable and endure the fire. Go to LanceWallnau.com/gold. LanceWallnau.com/gold. I'm going to be putting up some new material up there about what's happening now. I don't want any of my friends to miss out on doing what Annabelle and I are doing to prepare yourself for the future. LanceWallnau.com/gold. And let's get into the tour that is changing America, the Courage Tour.
I want to talk to you about why it's so important to stand, and how to stand, how to be unshakable, how to be unmovable as a people that are in the kind of environment that we're in. I pastor a church called Free Chapel. It's up the road. We've got eight campuses here in the Atlanta area and across the nation. And when President Trump asked me to serve on his executive board, I went to New York City and I went into his skyscraper office and we met with the presidents, a handful of us there. And I had no intentions of being a part of anything that he was doing. Not that I didn't like him, I liked him. He's a dreamer. I like people that are visionaries. I like dreamers that inspire me. And not all of them are Christians. And I love the fact that he didn't pretend to be something he wasn't. And I was there, and Paula was there, and Jan Crouch was there, and Ken Copeland was there, and Jack Graham was there, and James Dobson was there, and I'm leaving out two or three others. And my son Drake, who is somewhere in here, I brought him with me. Now he works for America First Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. He was there. You were there. Yes, my dear friend, my mind's not on you right now, but I love you. He's a great man right there. And he said something that messed me up after he talked. Mostly he listened. A lot of people don't understand that President Trump listens to the people. If he asks you for a meeting, he will sit and he'll talk for a few minutes and then he'll go around the room and he'll want to hear what you've got to say about it. And if you don't have much to say or something stupid, he'll talk over you. I've watched him long enough. I've learned, I know his reaction. But what I've learned about the man is when you speak truth, Even if he doesn't know that it's in the Bible, when you speak truth, he bends toward truth. He bends toward it. I've watched it over and over and over. And so, to make a long story short, he challenged us. He looked at all of us religious leaders, so-called, and he said, you people don't get together for nothing. And we're looking at each other, and we've never been in the same room together, even though all of us have been in the ministry for decades. And he says, their group gets together, but you Christians don't get together. You have the largest voting bloc in the nation, and you don't get together for anything. We no longer have the luxury of disunity. When the President of the United States decrees Easter Sunday Trans Day recognition, we don't have the luxury of disunity. I don't have to agree with you on everything. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe in the cross, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, I can come to some place of agreement and say we need to fight for this nation together. Together. There's a verse in Hebrews 12 that says, in verse 27, and this word yet once more signifieth the removing of things that are shaken as of things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. It cannot be shaken. We serve a God now with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He said everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken so that that which is unshakable will stand. That's the time that we're living in right now prophetically. Everything that we see and have believed in and loved about our nation is being shaken. And I want to just speak to you for a few moments. I've got 23 minutes and I intend to use all 23. But I want to speak to you, since I'm here, I'm going to preach. And I want to speak to you about structure matters. Structure matters. When you walk into a big building like this and you see the seats and the lights and all this cameras and these screens and all that, that's what you think, but there's the structure that holds the whole thing up. We see the exterior, but structure matters. And not too long ago, I heard something that caught my ear on a podcast I was listening to about building. And this person who is an expert in building said that when they build storm shelters, when they build storm shelters, meaning buildings that are constructed with the storm in mind, that people's lives will rely upon whether or not their families live or die if they can get to that storm shelter. He said, when they build it, they do not use air nail guns. They're not allowed to in the code. If it is going to be a certified storm shelter, you can't use the air nail guns. You have to use the old-fashioned hammer and nail. You can't just pop, 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 pop some things. Now, there's nothing wrong with an air nail gun, but what they found out is there's something in the pounding and the hammer blows and the time that the wood is developing at between the punches and the hits and the pounding, that somehow it makes it a little bit stronger. We live in an air nail gun society. We want to build a marriage. We know more. It takes you 5 minutes to get a marriage license. And we want to pop, 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 nail gun, nail it real quick. We want to do churches like that. Pop, 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 and we got a church. But if you're building a storm shelter, if you're building something that's going to withstand the attacks, we are not building a nation that'll be here, should the Lord tarry, for a year. We want our nation that will be here for our children and our children's children. We don't need to allow the lies of the enemy to come in and pop, 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 and build a nation that will collapse as soon as the storms come. You can build it temporarily, or you can build it for the long haul. We don't need new gadgets. We don't need a new constitution. We don't need to add on to the Supreme Court just because they don't agree with how we feel. When this system has worked for generation after generation. We don't need our judicial system torn to pieces and redone and criminals not held to the law, the letter of the law. This is messing with the structure. We don't need our educational systems teaching our children to choose their gender. This is messing with the structure. The structure is what holds everything up. Your bones to your body is the structure of your body. And I don't care how pretty you look on the outside, if I take out one of the bones on your leg, that pretty leg's going to collapse. We as a society and as a nation are messing with the structure that has made America great. And it may take a little longer, but we're not here to curse the darkness only and say amen to things that we agree with when we watch Fox News. But we're here to turn on the light. We're here to say we're of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We got to have courage and boldness like we've never had to stand for what is right. What's wrong with an air nail, Pastor? Nothing's wrong with it. But you don't build a church real fast. And you don't build a family real fast. And you don't build a nation real fast. When you're building something, when it gets rough outside, that will stand. A good structure will protect you. And the one who built the church, the carpenter's son, said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's why you ought to get some courage. Because our founder said, what I'm building, I'm not doing with an air nail gun. I'm doing it with a hammer and a nail and two beams. And I promise you, when I get nailed up on that cross, I don't care what hell brings against your marriage, your family, your nation, and whatever state you live in, what I build is stronger and unshakable. I just need people to hold up that cross and stand and get vocal and get loud and get up and take a stand for what is right. Structure matters. And if you're building the right thing, is strong. I don't care how powerful they look. I don't care if they've got George Soros on their side. I don't care how much money they've got. What we've got, that's pop, 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 pop. What we've got is rock solid. And he said, if you build the house on the rock, the storm can't take it out. Somebody take a praise break right now.
We pray. Save this nation. Cause it to have a surge of your glory. Let revival rock it. Let awakening shake it. Let reformation change it.
I know that you believe in miracles. I know that you've seen them. But I want you to stand on your feet. And I want you to look at me. And I just want you to have no fear.
This is a true word. It means it's the last stand for America. And you think that you can go on just enjoying life? This for such a time as this, I call Mordecai's, Esther's.
And he said to me, Jenny, you never know where your seed will place your kids in the kingdom of God. Where will your children be and your grandchildren? Where will your seed be from the seed that you plant in this event?
We need to involve ourselves at the local grassroots level and change our communities right there. It means you need to reconnect with the people around you. It means we need to have humanity and community right where we are.
Stand strong in your faith and community. Reserve your free seat for the Courage Tour today at thecouragetour.com.
You know, professionals, and that's the problem, we got too many professionals in the pulpit. I am not a professional pastor. I am not a professional preacher. This is not a profession. This is not a job. And we are not for hire. And the reason that America is going the route that it's going is the pulpit's fault, in my opinion. And I'm one of them, and I love my pastor friends. But we got a whole generation of young preachers who are pop, 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 nail gun preachers. And it sounds good and it feels good, but it's not going to keep you when your baby's on drugs. It's not going to keep you when your marriage is in trouble. It's not going to keep you when you're going through the fire and you get a report from the doctor. You better have something that is solid and unshakable, and that's what you get from knowing the truth of God's word and standing on it. Now, if you can't give me a Pentecostal amen, I'll take a Baptist nod. I'll take a Presbyterian raised eyebrow right now. I'll take a Catholic crucifix, but let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. You know, professionals built the Titanic and it sunk. We got a lot of professional preachers who are worried about Brother Big Bucks more than they're worried about the man on the throne who said, I called you and I want you to have a sermon when you walk to that pulpit like a fire shut up in your bones. Don't you get up like a professional, because professionals built the Titanic and it sunk, but amateurs built the ark. And the only difference between the two was who you get your directions from. We've got our directions. I'm going to build my family on the Ten Commandments. They can take it out of the courthouse, but they can't take it out of my house and out of my schools. I'm going to build my life on the Word of God, and I'm not depending on D.C. to have a prayer meeting. I don't have a right to talk about D.C. if I don't have any prayer in my own house. When the rain comes, you'll stand. We're not building the Tower of Babel. Boy, it went up. It was impressive. It's impressive. It looks like they're taking over the world. It looks like the false religions are taking over the world. Pop, 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 pop. Higher and higher and bigger, and they won this election and won that election. And this evil people. We're not even talking about left and right. We're not talking about Republicans and Democrats anymore. We're talking about absolute spirit of Antichrist, evil, demonic, messed up, mutilating children's bodies, cutting up 12-year-old girls, taking their breast off, cutting the genitals off of boys at the age of 8, letting them decide, giving them pubic blockers and messing with the structure of their very being. And the church is silent?
And the church, you can't speak up for that. You can't say that's evil, that's wrong. You read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah when they were taken over. The Bible said that when the angels went to, in Genesis 18, when the angels went to Lot's house, you remember the story? To tell him and his family to get out of there. And the Bible said that the gay community, the transvestites, and the pedophiles, the Bible, how do you know that? Because the Bible said young and old. Read it. They gathered outside, young and old. Because the older were sexually abusing the younger. We're seeing a plague of it. And they came to take those two and sexually abuse them out in the streets. And they were pounding on the door. And do you know where the Bible said that Lot was when he goes to Sodom and Gomorrah? Sitting at the gate. You know where Eli the high priest was when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines and taken? The glory, the prosperity, the blessing of God on the nation was dependent upon that God box. And do you know where he was? The Bible said he was sitting in his chair. The church has sit down. And as the pulpit goes, the nation goes. And then if the preachers don't take a stand, it's because the congregation is sitting out there saying, like they did when Jesus walked in the tabernacle in the synagogue. The Bible said it never happened before, but somebody demon-possessed sitting in the congregation said, "Leave us alone. We don't want to take a stand. Let's just be nicey-nicey." And I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice preacher. But I can't be silent. When you start messing with the structure of everything that's good and everything that's pure and everything that's godly and everything that's right, we've got to take a stand. Tower of Babel fell, but the church still stands. You know, they told me that my church, some did, that if you take a stand, and, you know, I stand with the Word of God. If I'm with Trump, I tell him how I feel. I'm pro-life. I told him how I felt about the latest little deal. But I'm not the president. He is. But I thank God that there is a man who's willing to have voices at his table. And 99% of the time, he listens. I'd rather have that than somebody who says, "Kill the babies on their birthday. Give them a birthday abortion right up to 9 months. Or take a few hours and decide while you lay them in a pan." That's messing with the structure of a whole society. And you can't just do that. You can't mess with the structure. I don't mean to sound mean. Do I sound mean? No. They told me if you take a stand, you'll. And we did. We lost hundreds of people. We lost hundreds. And what did you do? I just kept standing. I just kept preaching. I didn't preach Donald Trump. I didn't preach Republican Party. I preached Jesus. I preached the Word of God. I preached what the Bible says about life. I preached pro-Israel, pro-life, pro-religious freedom, pro-Bible, Bible. The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. That's what I preach. And we lost hundreds. We lost hundreds. And President Trump on Easter Sunday, one Sunday during the pandemic,
said, I'm going to watch Jensen Franklin on Twitter. I was flying from the West Coast on Delta Airlines flying back to Georgia. And I didn't have Wi-Fi on, and I think I fell asleep, so I didn't check my phone. And when I landed, he said, I'm going to watch Jensen Franklin at Free Chapel on Sunday morning. I invite y'all, if you need some hope, I invite y'all to do the same. And you know when you hit the runway? You know when you hit the runway and your phone goes bing, 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 bing? Well, my phone blew up. And I didn't even know that he had done it. I didn't even know that he had put it. And oh my God. And the next day, listen to this. So I preached that Sunday morning and I greeted the president and all of that. They came in, thank God. They sent from his people a thing to come in and reinforce. They got with my team and worked all day Saturday to reinforce our internet capabilities. And I mean, we're a media ministry. I thought we were ready for it. We had over 1.2 million people live. I preached to more people on that morning than I'd ever preached in my whole ministry. Oh, it gets better than that. And some of them big money people left too. But there was somebody watching in another state. And they said, this is what they told me. They said, the only reason we are now, and these people have given tens of millions of dollars to our ministry since then, since 2020. They said, the only reason we watched was because anybody that Donald Trump wanted to watch. We said, we've got to see who that is. Oh, come on here. Come on here. If you get some courage, Pastor, God will pay your bills. We're debt free. We owe nothing to nobody. If you get some courage, God will provide. If you get some courage, God will bless you, businessman. But you got to stand for what is right. I believe all that blessing was waiting on my obedience. So I told Donald Trump one time, I shook his hand, I said, you're my number one financial supporter and you don't even know. He looked at me so strange. I said, I'll tell you about it sometime. Oh, hallelujah. I love the Lord. Church, we don't have to fear. My God will supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. I need 100 people to get up on your feet and give God some praise if you believe that structure matters. I think I blew the system up. Hallelujah. I'm done. You know, structure matters. When I think about America, we've lost a lot the last 4 years. I mean, it's serious. It's serious as a heart attack. But as long as you've got the structure, when God is about to do something great, He looks for structure. That's why when He created Adam from the dust of the earth, He put him to sleep, opened up his side, and he was about to form woman, reached in and pulled a rib out of Adam's side and formed woman, and He put Adam to sleep because He didn't care about his opinion. Come on. Didn't want it. And He formed woman. And marriage started right there. That's the structure for marriage. What God, and He looked up and He said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh.
and it was a male and it was a female. That's God's structure. I guess I shouldn't say, but I am at a courage tour. But I know that there are people who are gay that are sweet people and kind people and wonderful, nice people. There's no question about that. Let's come on, say amen. There's no doubt. And then there are others who are very deviant, just like heterosexuals. There's a lot of adulterers and liars and people hooked on porn and all kinds of stuff going on. So it's no different. We're just, they say, I was born this way. That's why you need to be born again. I was born a liar, an adulterer, a thief, no good for nothing, but I got born again. And you know what he did? Like he did Jacob, he pulled my structure. He messed my hip up and changed my walk. And I used to walk one way, but now I walk like this because that's what he does. He regenerates our structure. Blood comes from the bone marrow. When you mess with the structure, you cut off the blood. I'm almost done. But when I think about children being adopted and growing up, and they don't have a mother's love or they don't have a father's love, whether through divorce or even adoption now by couples of same sex. I'm not saying they can't give that child love, but there's something about that we're messing with the structure of the home and the family. It's very, very, very serious. So what's the answer? We've got to get back to the fact that when Jesus hung on the cross, they broke the man's knees, the thief, on the left. He represented Satan because he said the same words that Satan said in the wilderness. If you are the Son of God, he represents Satan falling from heaven. The thief on the other side, they broke his legs because he failed to sin. He was a thief. He's the thief that stole heaven. Prayed a 9-word prayer. Boom, you're in. But they went to break the structure, the legs of Jesus. But he had already said it was finished. And there was a prophecy in Exodus that said, of the Passover lamb, not one bone shall be broken. Because if God's going to resurrect something, he has to have the proper structure. And I close with this. So Ezekiel 37 said, and I was taken to a valley of dry bones. Dry bones. That's really all we've got. And they were scattered. Sounds like the body of Christ. Scattered and dry. But we are not to be a bunch of pessimistic, negative people. We've got enough negaholics in the church. We don't need any more. Come on. We are to stand up and prophesy to the dry, dead bones. And he said, all of a sudden, when the structure was still there. It may be scattered. It may be broken. It may be, as long as we've got the church still here, it hasn't been raptured. That means revival. The wind can blow. And he said, they stood up on their feet like a mighty army, and resurrection was attracted to structure. Get up on your feet with me in closing and throw up your hands and say, God, we prophesy to America. Live, hallelujah, live again. We prophesy to the church. Live, we prophesy to dreams and visions and a new generation that is doped up and messed up. Live in the name of Jesus. We receive by faith. We receive by faith. The Spirit to prophesy. And become a mighty army. And it would do good for the United Nations to hear that about Israel, because that's Israel after 1948. And they're not a poor, pitiful, skinny, Holocaust-looking people. God said, when I raise them up, if you mess with them, you're messing with a mighty army. And that includes America. That includes our leaders. Our leaders better stand with Israel, or the walls, the hedges go down on America. Don't mess with that structure. It's a connection in the spirit between Israel and America. And the closer and stronger and more support we give to Israel, the more God's favor and blessing comes upon our lives, our families, and our nation. I love you. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands. Lord, we give you this nation. We thank you for Pastor Lance. Lay your hand on him and his movement. Give him great success across the land. And Lord, use us all. Help us not to be silent. Say this, I will not be quiet. I will stand up. I will get involved. I am the one. This is the place. And now is the time. God bless you.
I wish we had the time to give you the entire unedited message. Listen, we're recording all these sessions for you. We're going to try to make them available. But I know that God moved when Jensen Franklin shared that story of his own journey, and about how you can be building, like that illustration of the hammer and the nails. It takes that personal effort to make something even more secure. A nail gun is not the same as the sweat that you put into building something strong. Great illustration. And by the way, the Courage Tour is available to all of you. Were there 2-day events, 3-day events, morning, noon, and night? Powerful experience. Don't forget, go to thecouragetour.com to make sure you know when we're going to be in your area and register for your free seat in the Courage Tour. See you again tomorrow. God bless.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.